Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Trail Mix Podcast, episode 13, I believe. 13, season 2.
Yeah.
Before we get into tonight's topic, which is going to be epic, by the way, this is Sunday Fight Night. Yes. Just wanted to put this out on this platform as well, that we're going to have a, online Christmas special on December 17th at 7 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock Mountain Time. You do the math for the rest of them if you live in a different time zone than those.
That's pretty good.
So lots more information with that. Check out our Facebook page, all that kind of stuff. So with all of that taken care of, where are we at tonight?
We are in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 20 through 40. It's Sunday night fight night. I think we missed a Sunday night fight night last month, but that's okay.
I think you're right.
This is a pretty epic battle.
Yes. So
this is worth two fight nights.
Yes.
So it's Elijah. I said that right. Like, how is it two mixed up? Elijah and Elisha. Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to say it wherever you're from, whatever time zone you're in. It is the Mount Carmel victory. In one corner, we have Elijah. And the other corner, we have everybody else who is not Elijah. And they're going to get a beat down.
Yes.
So, it's a kind of a quick read. I'm going to read it aloud and pay attention because it's pretty gnarly at the end. So, there we go. So, Ahab, can't even read tonight. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if..." How do you say that? Is it Baal or Baal? I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Yeah, I've heard it pronounced both ways. I pronounce it Baal myself, but I don't know that it...
I go with Baal. Yeah. I'm saying Baal. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him, not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So right there, one guy versus 450 make-believe characters. Therefore, let them give us two bowls, and let them choose one bowl for themselves, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bowl and lay it on wood, but put no fire under it. So he's called them out. He's like, who's God? Is it God? Is it Baal? You get no answer from anybody about anything. So they're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. Who's in charge? We're both going to build an altar. We're both going to get a bowl. You pick first. And they did. And the rules of the game are, you gotta cut everything up, put it on your altar, but no fire. So that's where we're at. Then, now, Then next rule. Verse 24. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire. He is God. Pardon me. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So it's a done deal. The gauntlet has been thrown down, and everybody's in. All the cards are on the table. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bowl for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bowl which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leapt about the altar which they made, which that had to be quite the sight. So they're calling on their God, who's a nobody. They got no answer for half the day. And now they're kind of like, now they're jumping around like a bunch of monkeys. Verse 27. And so it was at noon, Elijah mocked them. I mean, this is bad. Like, Elijah's like, look at you guys. There we go. He mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. I have even heard, and I don't know if it's in this, it's, where is it, 27? I looked down at my footnotes here.
So while you're looking for that, mine has a little different in that.
This one's, go ahead.
This is hilarious. So that same thing, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey.
Dude, in my footnotes, it says, he had gone to a celestial men's room.
Oh man.
That's the celestial men's room. I mean, this is bad. They got their bowl cut out. They're making a complete fool of themselves at noontime by noon. They're jumping around. And then now Elijah's like, hey, maybe your God's. Oh, body. That's pretty bad. Okay, that's the best. It gets better. Just like, yeah, God's don't hide. You gotta love the Bible. It's just full of this crazy stuff. Yeah. But it's all true. But it's like, anyways, where are we at? Okay. Verse 28. So they cried aloud. Not any louder. And then they start cut themselves as was their custom. So now they're cutting themselves. They're cutting themselves with knives and lances until blood gushed out of them. So now these fools jumping around, they're as loud as probably as loud they can be. And now they're cutting themselves so they're bleeding all over the place. Oh, these boys need help. And when midday was passed, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. So they're still going at it. It's nighttime. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Okay. And Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So now these guys got a chance, like, they if they already had the altar or they had to make one. So, anyways, they already had one, it's quote unquote functional, if you will. Elijah takes one that's already there, that was for God, fixes it up. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Oh, pardon me. Then, with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold two I can't even pronounce that word. It's S-E-A-H-S. Of seed. Let me stop right there for a second. Look down at 32 and see what that means. All right, it doesn't give me a measurement. We may have to look that up in a little bit.
Mine says about 7 quarts or 7.3 liters.
7.3 liters. Good. That's a fair amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a trough around the altar that holds, you know, let's say 7.5 liters of water. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, fill four water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. They did it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. So this thing is soaked. The rocks are wet. All the I'm just going to call it meat because that's how my brain works. It's, all the meat's wet. The trench is full of water to the top, probably maybe even overflowing. So the thing is soaked, okay? And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, oh my goodness, pardon me, came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know you, and you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you and your God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up all the water that was in the trench. That's a fire, y'all.
Yeah.
Now, when all the people saw this, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That's not yawn. And Elijah said to them, see, here's where it gets just off the rails. So you've already got these guys, these Baal guys. They've been running around all day into the night, cutting themselves, jumping like monkeys, bleeding all over the place, crying out as loud as they possibly can to nothing but fence posts. And so now Elijah says to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Okay. So if you look back here in verse 22, there are 450 of these guys. Okay. So they round up 450 of these guys. It says, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them. Other versions say slaughtered.
Mm-hmm. That's what mine says.
I prefer slaughter. Execution sounds too clean. And I'm sure they were slaughtered. So that is the Sunday night fight night. You have Elijah, one man of God, shows up, takes out 450 of these quote unquote prophets of Baal, and destroys them and gets the people to turn back to God on top of that. So what are your thoughts, Mr. Trail Mix?
this is just another one of those situations that God makes it obvious, isn't even begin to describe this whole situation, because the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I can't even wrap my mind around what that would even look like. You know, like, so I, like, you try to put yourself in the crowd. Like, you're standing there and you're watching this and you're like, just, you're watching these guys make fools of themselves all day long. They're cutting themselves, they're screaming, they're bellering, they're jumping like monkeys, they're doing all this other crazy stuff. And crickets, there's nothing. And so if I'm in the crowd, I've got to be standing there going, just like on the edge of your seat, like, okay, it's Elijah's turn now. What's going to happen? Is this, you know? And then to see fire, it says the fire of the Lord fell. So you have to, you know, picture this almost like the pillar of fire, you know, from the Exodus. And this pillar of fire coming down and just everything is gone. The burnt offering, the everything. And it says even the dust. So I almost picture it leaving a hole. Like,
yeah, you know, maybe like, does it make a glass? You know, like the lightning hits sand, yes, and the glass. Do you think there's just like this glass plate out there somewhere that no one's ever found, or you know what I mean?
Right? Yeah. Yep.
Or there's just like this permanent patch of scorched earth for all of eternity right there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like nothing grows there. Just this is where God showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just make a little plaque marker or something, you know.
And then the end of it where the prophets of Baal were all slaughtered.
Yeah. Slaughtered. It probably wasn't that hard of a job, because it sounded like they were probably pretty cut up to begin with.
Well, right. They said that
450 guys all cut up and bleeding and jumping around all day. Yeah. Probably didn't have much energy left. Probably did them all a favor.
You're right. Yeah. Plus, it says that, you know, they cut themselves until blood gushed. I mean,
gushed.
That's,
yeah,
that's a pretty strong word.
It is. So, what a mess that had to be.
Mm-hmm.
450 guys jumping around, bleeding all over the place. Hot, sweaty, bloody, stinky. Good night. What a mess. What a mess. All I can think of is like that altar that Elijah built. You know, he took some, it was already there, it was kind of run down. Souped it up with 12 more stones. Put everything on. And then just soaked it and soaked it and soaked it to the point where everything is just dripping wet. The trench is full of water. And I'm sure everybody's like, there's no way whatever this guy's about to do is going to work.
Right. Yes. Yes.
You know, it makes me think of like people, like they're just, you have this turning point in your life. Or whatever happens. So you're just, you're soaked. You know, I'm going to try to like a backslash, like anything with all this bad in your life. And other people see you and they're just like, there's no way that person can be saved. And no way that person's going to go to heaven. And then they pray or they have, they're in a situation where they meet God. God shows up and their life completely changes for the better. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what when I read that and think of that, what that altar was, just, it was just like, and all those people standing there, like, there's no way this is going to work. There's no way God's going to come. There's no way this is going to happen. Everything's soaking wet, so on and so forth. And God's like, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think there's a couple of different good points in that kind of word picture of like the altar and it being soaked in, like you said, they're looking at that going, whatever this guy's gonna do is not gonna work. And so I think that two things that came to my mind right away was number one, they were right. There was nothing that Elijah could do in and of himself to make that fire work.
Right.
And so it was all God doing the work. It was God that was the fire coming down and consumed everything. So like that's the same thing with us. In and of ourselves, we can do nothing.
Exactly.
Except left to our own devices, screw things up. The second thing is that they saw that altar as being unburnable, that it was not physically possible to light that thing on fire, let alone consume it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of parallels, you know, we kind of think along those lines, like you just said, there's no way that person's getting to heaven. There's no way that person's, you know, doing whatever. Well, nobody is out of reach of God's grace. There's, you know, nobody is outside of God's grasp. Just same way that altar was not outside of God's ability to burn it and consume it. So I guess the encouragement I get out of that is that no matter how bad you think you are, no matter how unsavable you think you are, you are absolutely savable. You are absolutely within God's reach. If that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. Because if you relate it to – I just had it while you were talking. If you dang it. It left the train station and nobody on board. Yeah, I'm trying to get it back. Good night. I don't know, you're not unsavable. Just like this altar. Like it was soaked. And the cool part is when God came down and he took him, he just consumed. He consumed everything. He consumed. Let's just find it real quick here. All right, here it is. Consume the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and the water that was in the trench. So it's like you're that altar. You're soaked. You're just, there's like everybody's watching you. They're like, there's no way this person's savable, gonna go to heaven, blah, blah, blah. And then God shows up, and everything you've done, all the bad, is licked up and consumed and gone. That makes sense?
Absolutely.
And then you're like, and now this void that's left in the story here. Because there was a tangible, inanimate object, the altar with the stones, and it's gone, and everything that was in, you had all your sin gone now, and they both, I feel, are like the same in one here, and the people in the Bible when they saw this, they fell on their faces and. They said, Lord, he is God. Lord, he is God. So now you've got this person who's saved, their sin's gone, been consumed by God, if you will. And now they're walking around saying, Lord, he is God. And these people had an actual visual testament to this. They witnessed it. And now you have these people that, or you have this individual that is the accumulation of all these people that saw this. And now they're going out telling people about God. Make sense? Yeah. So, I mean, there's a million different angles you could choose to look at, but it's like out of probably any Bible story, but what it all boils down to every time, it's just like your sin, God can fix it. You're not too far gone. If you're still breathing, you still have a chance.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's starting to turn into my mantra every pot at the end of, towards the end of everything. But I'm like, that it's true. It's 100% true. And somebody out there will hear this, even though we say it every week. As when you're a kid, you just go to church all the time and say, oh my Lord, same thing, same thing, same thing. But as you get older, you're like, hey, you know what? Maybe that same thing, the reason that they say the same thing every week or towards the end, or they tie it all together. Somebody somewhere needed to hear that, So take your call upon the Lord, people. He'll come and relieve you of your sin. It's pretty epic. And you
Right.
can walk around saying, the Lord, he is God, and be a witness to people. Do it, get some Jesus. Bah! What are your thoughts?
That's 110%. Now, I don't know. This might be a little bit of a stretch, maybe, but like the idea that it was 450 prophets, 450 men, and Elijah. So, we all have, before accepting Jesus, we all have gods that, we all have these idols that, because you're worshiping something. If you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping something. And so it's like, let's see if I can put this into a complete sentence and make it understandable. So the 450 men that they're it doesn't matter what your idols are, what your gods are that you might be worshiping right now. When God shows up, the true God shows up, all those other gods, they don't stand a chance. I mean, that's even giving them more benefit of the doubt than they deserve. And all it takes is just accepting Jesus, and that's it. I mean, because Elijah went up against these guys, and he really, I mean, he did some work, but he didn't do the work. He built the altar and did that. Some of that physical labor stuff, but it was all of the real important work was done by God.
Absolutely. You can't save yourself. As these
Right.
Baal guys were trying to save themselves. They're jumping around, cutting
Yes.
themselves. They're hooting and hollering, wailing away. And that's, look where it got. They were so far gone. And just, I mean, probably, were traitors of, evilness. They were taken out and slaughtered. So it's just like you said earlier, it's like if you don't, these 450 guys are like equal to, like, you're always trying to fill that void that you feel like you're always lacking something in your soul, or something, but you're filling it with, gambling or drinking or smoking or sex or whatever your drugs, whatever your vice is. The devil's just constantly trying to get you to go the next step, the next level. And eventually you can go too far, and you too far, you're dead.
Right.
And you're dead without Christ, and you're really hosed. So that's what, after everything was said and done here and God showed up, he's like, all right, get these guys out of here. Let's get clean the house, get all the trash out of here. You know what I mean? So it's like the equivalent of, like, once God shows up in your life and you start to change, you're just gonna start weeding out your, cleaning out your house, cleaning out your yard, cleaning out your friends, so on and so forth, you know? So that there's your, that's the deal. And it's a good change. I mean, do you want to keep in this perpetual cycle of just crap and garbage and trying to fill this constant void of just always feeling empty, but looking for the your next quote unquote high? And I don't mean that in a drug sense, but it could be. I mean, why not just have a constant steady high, or say steady high, but just a constant steadiness of life with Jesus? So get some Jesus. I don't know what else to say. And there's no, there's, you just got to talk to him. Just talk to him. It's easy. There's no magic words or anything. He just wants you to talk to him. Just talk to him. So, I mean, that's what, that's how, to me, that's what this story boils down to. So, that's my mic drop. Boom. Do they have tag team pastors? They should have. We should start that. Could be like an almost like an open. All right, I'm gonna stop. Never mind. I'm talking about one of these here. Getting sidetracked. Squirrel. The bottom line, people, just talk to Jesus. He wants to talk to you. You'll be glad you did. You're looking for, you look like you're digging for something over there.
I was just looking to see what my little footnotes things down here had to say about verse 40.
Oh, verse 40.
Where
Yeah, mine says the prophets were executed because of their blatant sin and the ruin they had brought upon the nation.
Then, if any of you are interested, just keep reading in First King, because Elijah's he's not done yet.
No,
Like,
he's not done, but
this is just the beginning of.
well, there's more because I was kept reading it, but I'm like, there's a lot of I wonder. It makes me wonder, like, if you keep reading it, there's some strange doings with Elijah occasionally. It just makes me
Yes.
wonder, like, how big was this dude? Because like he's just doing whatever he wants and no one questions him. And it kind of makes me chuckle a little bit with some of the stuff I read. I was like, whoa, I don't know if I did that. I'm not sure. Yeah. It's just kind of funny stuff. Like you said, if keep reading in verse 42, I'm gonna have to like reread this like 100 more times. But it's Part of the verse is like, and then he bowed down to the ground and put his face between his knees and told his servant to go up and now look toward the sea. I'm like, what in the world is going on? I'm just like, there's going to be some more. I think there might be, I don't know, we might just have to do like, might have to have like a character month and like talk about Elijah for a while. You know?
Oh, yeah, because Elijah is, he's one of those key people.
Yeah. Yep. But, yep. There's always something going on in the Bible. Bible, people think the Bible's boring. No, there is some wild, wild stuff. So, yep. Final thoughts? Any final thoughts before we close out this fine October Sunday evening fight night? What do you like when we do the next one? We gotta have like a bell, like ding ding.
Yeah, I thought about that earlier tonight. I just wasn't able to find one and get it queued up in time, but I will have one for next time for sure.
What do you like the background? Like just the recording, like remember like Mike Tyson's knockout or whatever, like for like Nintendo or whatever. Yeah. That was. Like, not be able to see it, but you just like hear the guys fighting in the background. That's messed up. We make awesome pastors.
final thoughts. I would say that two things, I guess. One is an encouragement that nobody is unsavable. As long as it's God doing the work. You know, that you and I can't save anybody. And I guess I kind of see this as maybe a little bit of a warning for us Christians too, that we kind of get into that mindset of, ah, that guy's too far gone. He can't be saved. You know, there's no way that he could, I did a perfect example of that is, like the serial killers that claim to be saved in prison. Jeffrey Dahmer is one of them. He claimed to be saved in prison. And I think that's a perfect example of somebody that we look at and we're like, nah, I don't think so. And that is not a good... not a good mindset to get into, that you're the one judging whether somebody's saved or not, which can be a very dangerous, slippery slope. So I guess those would be the two things, encouragement and a little bit of a warning for us as Christians.
Yep.
About you.
just gonna go with the old standby. Just no matter how bad you think it is, No matter how bad, quote unquote, how many times you've gotten wet, AKA life's beat you down, or you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, or God's just, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Just, you talk to him. He wants to be part of your life. You can make all your hoopla's and trouble go away and start on the right road that you should be on. Is it all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns all the time? Nope. But you have someone in your corner to help you battle through whatever needs to be battled through. So.
Yes. You get the same guy that was in Elijah's corner when he had. I mean.
He's in your corner.
That's right.
Yep. So, hope you enjoyed this rendition of our Sunday Night Fight Night. It's fun to say. yeah, kissing Jesus. Remember, we love you.
God loves you.
Peace.
Peace out.